This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue our walk through Genesis chapters 46, 47, and just into 48, picking up with Jacob and Joseph reunited, Jacob blesses Pharaoh, Joseph in the famine, Pharaoh gets the fifth, and Jacob adopts Joseph's two oldest. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Open my lips.
Thank you.
A reading from Isaiah chapter 29. Is it not yet a very little while until Lebanon shall be turned into a fruitful field, and the fruitful field shall be regarded as a forest? In that day the deaf shall hear the words of a book, and out of their gloom and darkness the eyes of the blind shall see. The meek shall obtain fresh joy in the Lord, and the poor among mankind shall exult in the Holy One of Israel. For the ruthless shall come to nothing, and the scoffers cease, and all who watch to do evil shall be cut off, who by a word make a man out to be an offender, and lay a snare for him who reproves in the gate, and with an empty plea turn aside him who is in the right. Therefore, thus says the Lord, who redeemed Abraham concerning the house of Jacob, Jacob shall no more be ashamed, nor no more shall his face grow pale. For when he sees his children, the work of my hands in his midst, they will sanctify my name. They will sanctify the Holy One of Jacob, and will stand in awe of the God of Israel. And those who go astray in spirit will come to understand, and those who murmur will accept instruction. O Lord, have mercy upon us. In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets. Now, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son.
Grace, mercy, and peace are ours this day from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. I often like to consider what it must have been like to be there when the words of Scripture were first spoken or when the events happened. What was it like when Isaiah first proclaimed this prophecy? The people of God at the nexus of a critical moment in history when the northern kingdom has fallen and the southern kingdom isn't far behind. And just prior to our text today, Isaiah had gotten done proclaiming that Jerusalem too would be crushed because the people will draw near with their mouths and honor me with their lips, while their hearts are far from me, and their fear of me is a commandment taught by men. In a world where people have turned from truth to their own foolishness, where the appearance of righteousness is far more important than actual righteousness, a world where Israel has fallen and Jerusalem too will be laid low, a world where the prophets are blind, and where the word of God is spoken and the people are too deaf to hear it, and if we're honest, don't want to hear it. A world where everything is upside down, where evil is called good and good is called evil, and the creation believes it can sit in judgment over the Creator. It's a good thing we don't live in a world like that. To that world, our text for this morning comes in like a breath of fresh air. After that word of judgment, God speaks to his people and reminds them that in the end he will be glorified, that in the end he will remember his promise to his people. In the end, he will save them and all will know that he is God. In a little while, a new day will dawn. In that day, the land will bear fruit again. In that day, the deaf will hear. In that day, the blind will see. In that day, the scoffers will cease. In that day, the evildoers will be cut off. In that day, they will sanctify the name of the Lord. In that day, all will stand in awe of the God of Israel. In that day. The problem with that day is it's not today. Today is harder. Today we live in a land broken and ravaged by the effects of sin. Today we live in a world where disasters of nature and acts of men bring death and destruction across the earth. Today we live in a world full of skinned knees and broken hearts, and we don't know how to make it any different. Today, evil is called good and good is called evil, and the people of God may lose everything for the crime of merely speaking what everyone knows is true. Today is not the day that Isaiah promises. But in a little while, well, that's a hard phrase, in a little while. I can remember growing up, being out with my parents, doing boring adult things. And I'd get impatient and bored, and I'd eventually ask, well, how much longer are we going to do this? And they would turn, and they would look at me, and they would respond, in a little while. And I knew what that meant, and I knew I was doomed. And I knew that I might as well start foraging for food and putting up a tent and finding a place to stay, because we were going to be there forever. And I had no choice but to wait. Perhaps not patiently, but I'd still have to wait. And today I'm no more patient than I was then, if I'm real honest. But I still have to wait. In the words of the great philosopher from my youth, Tom Petty, the waiting is the hardest part. But in the midst of the waiting, God is faithful to us. And Christ, who makes the blind to see, who makes the deaf to hear, will one day return to his people. Even now in this little while, he meets us where he has promised, in his word that opens stopped up ears, in his water and word in baptism that washes and redeems, and in his body and blood given to nourish us as we wait. And so the people of God wait. Brothers and sisters, do not lose heart. We may not know the timeline. We don't know the timeline. But we know how the story ends. The Lord of the church does not abandon his bride. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob does not forget his promises or abandon his people. God remembers. And in a little while, he will redeem his people. May God sustain his people, be with us, grant us endurance and even patience, at least for a little while. Amen.
In our prayers, we pray for an end to violence and hatred, especially in light of the deaths of military personnel in Syria, students on the campus of Brown University, and the mass casualties in the Jewish community in Sydney, Australia. Lord Jesus Christ, we implore you to hear our prayers and to lighten the darkness of our hearts by your gracious visitation. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. We beseech you mercifully to accept the prayers and oblations of praise from your humble servants, that we, who can do nothing to help ourselves, may be defended by the aid of your grace, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Merciful Father, into this world of violence and death, you sent your Son to bring light and life. Work in our hearts a love for all people, so that the schemes of the devil would come to naught, and peace would prevail among us, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Taught by our Lord and trusting his promises, we are bold to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord Almighty bless us and direct our days and our deeds in his peace.
Amen.